deliver us from the wicked one and from every sort of lawlessness. Do you know how that wicked one is identified in the 91st Psalm? Do you know what his objective is concerning us? Our next speaker, Brother Dale Schilt from the Kirkwood Congregation in Houston, will give us the answers to these important questions. Listen as he develops the theme, Delivered from the Trap of the Birdcatcher.
Picture a nice, beautifully colored bird, colors so bright and brilliant, vibrant, and sing. Oh, it sings beautiful. And as you're admiring this creation of Jehovah, then it happens. Snap! Caught in a birdcatcher's trap. The next time you see it, it's crowded into a little cage, maybe chained to a perch, or worse, it could be on a dinner table. That's the illustration that the Bible uses to warn Christians of the dangers of living in Satan's world. Who will deliver us from this birdcatcher's trap? Well, like the thought of our convention theme today, it's Jehovah that delivers us from the wicked one. Today, all true Christians are faced with dealing with this superhuman intelligence that's crafty, sneaky. He does everything he can possibly do to entrap us and take us away, mislead us from serving Jehovah. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 91. And you might mark it. We're going to read a couple verses from this chapter, because it helps us to see this illustration and the point of it. Look at Psalm 91, and we'll read verse 2 and 3. Here's what the psalmist says. I will say to Jehovah, you are my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I will trust. For he himself will deliver you from the trap of the birdcatcher, from the pestilence causing adversity. As far back as June the 1st, back in 1883, the Watchtower identified this birdcatcher as Satan the Devil. And Satan the Devil is busy, active, working in our day, working to entrap God's people. Slyly, he endeavors to trap us, mislead us away from serving Jehovah, just as the birdcatcher would try to trap the bird. In ancient times, birds would be captured for food just because they were beautiful and because they sang lovely, or for sacrifice, whatever purpose it would serve for the birdcatcher. If you did research on this in the insight on the scriptures, you'd find that the Hebrew terms for the birdcatcher's traps would denote a couple kinds of traps. One of the traps would be triggered by the birdcatcher himself. He'd set the trap, and when he saw the bird go in, he'd trigger it, and he'd catch the bird. The other one was a concealed type of trap, and the bird would just come along, maybe eating his way right into the trap, and he'd trigger it on himself. And he would, as it were, catch himself in this concealed trap that the birdcatcher had set up. Either way, the birdcatcher would have to know the habits and the peculiarities of the bird he was after, design some cunning method, and disguise it in such a way that the bird would be lured into the trap. Satan uses the exact same technique. His hidden traps are designed to catch us alive for his will. That's exactly what the Bible says. Look at 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And we'll read together there, verse 26. Here in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 26. The scripture talks about those that perhaps are lured away from true worship. And here's what Paul says about it. It says that they may come back to their proper senses, out from the snare of the devil, seeing that they've been caught alive by him for the will of that one. Make no mistake about it, brothers. Satan is up to no good. Satan wants to trap us in the wickedness of this system of things. Satan wants to cause our spiritual ruin. He wants to mislead us away from serving Jehovah and bring about our destruction as a person separated from Jehovah God. For our own safety, then, we have to be able to identify the various machinations of the devil. We have to be quick to apply the Bible principles in our lives. That's the way Jehovah is going to deliver us. He'll give us the counsel, the direction, and when we apply it, we'll be delivered from this bird catcher's trap. Now, among the snares that Satan uses, if you looked at Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 11, it talks about the machinations of the devil, and the footnote in the reference Bible says that these are his crafty acts. The crafty acts, this evil system that Satan has put together, is the way he works to entrap God's people today. Go back to Psalm 91. And back at Psalm 91, we'll look at how these traps or snares can come at us. In Psalm 91, we'll read verse 13. Here's what the scripture says. It says, "Upon the young lion and the cobra you will tread, and you will trample down the maned young lion and the big snake." Yes, just as the scripture describes, these are the ways that Satan will come at us. It can be a frontal attack, a lion, king of the beast. He's standing there blocking your path. He'll eat you alive. He's scared of nothing. That can come to us in the form of persecution from friends, relatives, family, etc. It can come to us in the form of legislative action by governments that would make the worship of God illegal. And so we have to be quick to recognize this and avoid this trap of Satan. Or like the scripture said, it can be like a cobra. I think of that as like walking through the jungle or the woods and the snake drops down on you from the tree and you never know it's there until it's entangled you and got you. It comes from a concealed place. And Satan has so many traps and so many schemes underhandedly to trap us just as a cobra or a snake would catch us in his claws, as it were. What we want to do today is consider some of the traps that Satan uses and see how we can protect ourselves. We're going to look at four traps to be aware of. First on the list is fear of man. Fear of man is something that young people are very susceptible to. Peer pressure, very great on young people, and adults as well. We're not immune to it. So it's something we have to be forewarned about. For adults, it could come in the form of missing our Christian meetings because an employer told us, "You've got to work late tonight." And fear of man perhaps keeps us from saying, "No, I can't do that." Brothers missed the whole day of our district convention because fear of man perhaps kept them from making arrangements to get time off from work. Now, the Bible tells us how to avoid that. The scripture in Proverbs 29, verse 25, says that trembling at men lays a snare, but those trusting in Jehovah will be protected. So we get the point, don't we? Build our trust in Jehovah, we'll overcome or avoid this trap of fear of man. Here's a second one. Materialism. Very real in this world. Satan has a materialistic system or society that will put you on that treadmill, and that's what it is, like a rat running in a cage on the little Ferris wheel. You get nowhere pursuing material pursuits in this system of things. The devil always is promoting get-rich-quick schemes that can beguile everyone, including God's people. If you've watched the infomercials on TV about real estate, it makes you wonder why we're not all rich from selling real estate. But you know, if you talk to someone who's in the real estate business, that's not a get-rich-quick scheme. But it's promoted as such by the devil. At the expense of our spirituality, Some will do anything to pursue their materialistic interests or desires. That goes contrary to what Bible counsel is. 1 John 2:15 says, don't love the world and the things in the world. It says you can't love the world and love God at the same time. You see, brothers, how applying that in our lives is a way that Jehovah delivers us from that trap. It becomes even more dangerous when hard economic times come on us and we try to maybe continue a style of living that we've enjoyed for a while, and really we just can't afford it anymore. Things have changed, and we have to adapt to it. The Bible tells us, be satisfied with sustenance and covering. That's a rather simple existence if you really think about it. That doesn't involve the newest, the latest, the biggest, the best, does it? So that's a good point for us to consider. Let's think about a third trap, entertainment. Satan uses entertainment to subtly and gradually erode away our proper hatred of what is bad. Through the media programs and entertainment, Satan will bait or trap persons, God's servants as well, away from things that they know are proper and correct into the immorality of this system of things. The scriptures tell us to beware of this. In Isaiah, the 5th chapter, verse 20, it says, woe to those that are saying that good is bad and bad is good. If there is an entertainment that makes that switch, when you look at it, you know this is not acceptable to Jehovah God. It's something for us to get away from. Now, you can prove that out to yourself just by looking at what entertainment's like today. If you're a person that's watched television from its beginning, look at how it's changed. Used to be, television, while it was time-consuming, was basically decent. It's not that way anymore. Even the regular TV that people talk about can get pretty bad, presenting all types of immorality. Look at the movies. A critically acclaimed movie from last year depicted a love story that the critics said was touching and heartwarming, a beautiful story. There was only one problem. It depicted a homosexual relationship between two men. We're familiar with what the Bible says about homosexuality. How can bad be made to look good and good be made bad? You see, the entertainment of the world has turned it upside down. It's a trap that Satan uses. Because our hearts can be easily influenced by the things we see and the things we hear, we have to be on guard to always watch what we take into our minds and our hearts. Let's look at the fourth trap now. Personal differences. However many we have in attendance here today, that's how many different personalities we have here today. We're just that different, aren't we? And Satan will use those differences to create divisions amongst God's people if we let that happen. If we allow those differences to fester and grow, Satan gets a foothold in our life, in our congregation, and so on. So we have to be very quick to apply Bible counsel in this area of personal differences. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 27, tells us to never allow place for the devil. So that's one way we guard ourselves in that area. Another scripture in the 30th and 30th through 32, those verses of Ephesians 4, the scripture tells us that malicious bitterness, anger, wrath, those things can grieve God's Holy Spirit. It can hinder the flow of God's Spirit. We can lose our joy in the ministry because of attitudes that could develop toward one another. Our ministry would become unfruitful. We could lead to being trapped away from worshiping Jehovah. The scripture gives the right way whenever it says, just be freely forgiving toward one another. It's okay. We're all different. We're imperfect. Just freely forgive one another. To help us to understand how important it is to lay these matters to rest, Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, that if our brother, if we were making a gift to Jehovah, and we knew that our brother had something against us, said, first, before you make the gift, Go settle the affairs with your brother. Make peace with your brother. Then come back and offer the gift. You see the priority of keeping peace amongst ourselves, brother? It's of utmost importance. There may be many reasons why problems develop, but there is no reason for them to continue if we are willing to apply Bible principles in our life. So we want to be determined to do that. Aren't we glad that Jehovah delivers us from the trap of the bird catcher? Jehovah will give us the insight, the fortitude, to reject anything that will damage us spiritually. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 124. We're going to read a scripture here. David is recounting and thinking back over the ways Jehovah has helped the nation of Israel and delivered them. Here in Psalm 124, verse 7 and 8, notice what the scripture says. David says, "Our soul is like a bird that is escaped from the trap of the baiters. The trap is broken, and we ourselves have escaped. Our help is in the name of Jehovah, the maker of heaven and earth." How much we appreciate Jehovah's loving care of us. Let's look in on a brother now who has inadvertently stumbled into one of Satan's snares and see how he gets out of it very quickly for his own good.
Our brothers on the Gulf Coast sure have been going through some hard times. I wonder how the recovery efforts in the area are going. I bet you I can find out some really good information online. Let me get on the internet here. And what should I put in the search engine? I'll try Jehovah's Witnesses Gulf Coast Disaster Recovery. Let's see what I get with that. I didn't think there would be that many results. Well, the first two choices are watchtower.org, the branch's website. I've been there before, but I want to dig a little deeper. Maybe I can find a local perspective. This third or even the fourth choice, those both look good. I'll try the third one. Okay, well, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Look at all this information. This is very interesting. Look at those pictures of the devastation. Okay, what does it say down here? That paragraph sounds very negative. And that part right there, that sounds apostate. This is apostate. Let me get out of this. I don't want to read anymore. That clearly was apostate. Reading information like that is dangerous. I can't help but think of the scripture at Psalm 91:3. "For he himself will deliver you from the trap of the birdcatcher, from the pestilence causing adversity." That's such a good illustration. I can imagine a bird flying along, innocently minding its own business, and then snapped up in a deadly trap. Now, I don't want to end up like that bird. But I just flew by one of Satan's traps. In fact, I had one foot in his trap, and he might ensnare that trap on me or someone else by reading that kind of garbage. You know, I'm so grateful for all the counsel we've just received on the internet at our meetings lately. I never thought that I would ever come across apostate material online. I wasn't looking for that. And when I hear these parts, I wonder, why would one of our brothers or sisters, why would they go out and look for apostate material on the internet? But apparently, you don't have to go looking for it. It's so easy just to stumble upon it accidentally, even when our intentions are good. Let me quit all this searching around. What I'm going to do now is go back to watchtower.org and see if they posted anything new about the recovery.
Thank you, Brother Rist. Don't we appreciate from our little scene, brothers, that decisive action is necessary when we encounter any form of unrighteousness or wickedness? Take your Bible and look at Psalm 91, and let's read another scripture there. In Psalm 91, we'll read the first verse. This is what the psalmist says. "Anyone dwelling in the secret place of the Most High will procure himself lodging under the very shadow of the Mighty One." This secret place of the Most High is a symbolic place of spiritual security, safe from the traps and snares of the birdcatcher, Satan the devil. how happy we are to put ourselves there under Jehovah's loving care. The birdcatcher would destroy every one of us were it not for the fact that Jehovah lovingly protects us and provides our deliverance. What we want to do, brothers, is to be sure that we welcome that security of this shadow of the Almighty One. Under Jehovah's shadow is not a restrictive place to be. It's not some place to say, oh man, I want to get out from underneath this shadow. No, I want to stay there. I know that I'm safe there. And so that's our place to be. We live in dangerous times. And we want to heed the warnings that we get regularly from the Scriptures and from Jehovah's organization. We want to pray to Jehovah to deliver us from the snares and temptations of the wicked one. When we do that, brothers, we can be assured Jehovah will hear our prayers. Jehovah will provide the protection we need. Jehovah will deliver us from the trap of the birdcatcher. After that,